pain, but I was learning to deal with it after the accident. It was a pain that hurt emotionally, physically, and mentally. I had been prescribed all the necessary medication from my doctor to cope with everything that had happened to me. Some of it was still a blur because my brain had blocked most of the accident out. It was my body's way of dealing with trauma. I remembered to pack all my tablets in my handbag too, along with my passport, cruise ticket, coach ticket, and enough cash to pay for the taxi. This trip was really happening. I should have been excited, yet the thought of travelling from the coach station to the cruise terminal alone was daunting. I certainly couldn't get in a car again. I wasn't ready to face the roads and those savage memories that had me living in fear. I walked around the house one more time to check I'd closed all the windows. It felt so empty. I remember the day we moved in, and how excited Cameron and I were to start our new adventure here. It was perfect. I smiled because I remembered all the times I begged Cameron for a cruise holiday, but he hated the idea. I never thought it would happen, but this was a lovely surprise. He was so thoughtful.
"We're in the best part of Bristol," Cameron said when we moved in.
My husband had started his new green energy business.
"I can convert one of the rooms to an office. There's so much we can do with this house. I won't have to commute as much. I can spend more time with the kids."
Sadly, perfection doesn't always last. It was a bittersweet day, as I'd spent all of last night packing my suitcase while reliving memories of the past. I'd been unable to sleep due to all the tears. My fears started to hinder my recovery. He still commuted to London. Work still took over most of his life, but we supported each other through everything. Sometimes there wasn't enough of him to go round, and his caring nature meant he supported things that he should have put on the back burner. I didn't know the right clothes to wear on a 2-week Mediterranean cruise in the winter. The children were no use either, but they were excited to spend the time away with their grandparents. Their grandparents were equally excited to have that time with the children. So many day trips were planned. I couldn't be part of them. But I never knew how desperate I was for this trip away until that morning. It started to feel real after I waved the children off. I decided to pack everything that could cover different weather scenarios. I gathered it would be the coldest on the way down to Spain through the Bay of Biscay. I should have been excited about this trip. Still, when I remember the circumstances around it and how I had fallen out with my husband's assistant, Chantelle, it had a bitter edge to it. Something about that woman rubbed me up the wrong way. I was intrigued to get to know everything about her, but at the same time, I feared her. As I left the house to wait for the taxi, there she was, standing behind me. Chantelle had taken me by surprise, but her face looked dreadful. She was nervous and full of concern. I remember being fixated on her big brown eyes and how they looked tearful.
"Can I speak to you inside?" she asked.
She was polite, but I had a feeling I knew what it was going to be about.
"It won't take long."
"I've only got a few minutes before the taxi arrives. It should be here any minute, really," I replied, hoping she'd rather talk outside. "I don't want to be late. You know how important this cruise is, don't you?"
"Trust me, it's all I've been thinking about," she replied,
and walked closer to the door.
"Please, can we go inside? I have something important to tell you."
I opened the door, wheeled in my large suitcase, and closed the door behind us. Chantelle stood there, nervously waiting. I didn't know what to say next because I was conscious of the taxi. Then it happened.
"I'm sorry," she said. "I'm sorry for everything. We need to clear the air before the cruise. There's something..."